Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Aaron, as always, joining us on the John Shustakova Banker Hotline. How you been, Aaron?
I've been good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just still kind of wrapping my head around last night. Were you at Target Center last night? I'm assuming you were.
I was, and I was telling Chris before we went live here that I was actually getting a beer when that happened. So I was in line, and I heard the oohing and aahing, and you know, I could tell there was something unusual happening. And then as I walked back into the arena, you could see the coaches kind of squaring off at center court. So then I was really confused because that's, you know, you hardly ever see coaches, like, you know, get up into each other's faces like that. So then I watched the replays and figured out what happened. But, yeah, I've never quite seen anything like that. It was very unusual.
Yeah, that was something else. But, like, I don't know if you heard my opening statement or segment. I like the fact that we have a team where we got guys that are going to stand up for ourselves. Like, you've probably heard this from me for years. I didn't like the situation with Philadelphia with the whole Embiid, you know, on the bottom choking cat. I didn't like when Rudy got choked by Draymond. It's about damn time that we said we've had enough. We're not going to be bullied anymore.
I'm with you. I'm a little worried about losing Dante for a few games. You know, I'm assuming he'll be suspended at least for a couple, and then who knows about Nas, you know, because all these games now are so key if we're going to get out of the play-in. But I'm with you. I mean, it was cool to see that, you know, Detroit, who was playing really physically, that the Wolves weren't shying away from that. And, you know, when it got chippy, they were right there being chippy in response.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the world of politics, because it seems like every single time that we talk, there's some new news that has us all kind of like scratching our heads with regards to what's going on with the Trump administration. The latest is that Donald Trump, it seems like, is trying to plan to make a way through the courts, possibly, or just try to make himself relevant or make it irrelevant with regards to the rules surrounding being able to serve a third term. What do you make of the comments that he's made to the media? It was Kristen Welker from NBC, that he's not joking about the possibility of serving a third term despite the 22nd Amendment.
Yeah, you know, I really wish I would have been wrong about this, but I was saying as far back as the first part of 2020, when Trump started attacking mail voting and saying that it was fraudulent and that, you know, that the mail ballots were inherently corrupt, that he had no intention of leaving willingly, you know, after the 2020 election if he lost. And unfortunately, I was correct. I mean, it took a failed coup. And then once he was out of options to, you know, finally come to terms with the fact that he was going to have to leave. And you know, even that very day when he got in the helicopter and left the White House, I was still kind of wondering if there was some last minute trick he was going to pull to try and stay in power. So I think it's the same this time around. I mean, to me, I think the plan that, you know, seems to be kind of in place for him is that he'll just run again and basically dare the courts to stop him and claim a mandate from the people if he wins, and then kind of put the court in the position of trying to refute the will of voters. Now, you know, assuming that he's going to win again, I think is a pretty dubious assumption at this point, you know, with the tariffs and some of the economic hardship I think that's in store in the short term here. But, I'm not surprised at all to see that Trump, you know, is flirting with this idea of basically becoming an autocrat. And, I'm a little disturbed by the fact that it's become kind of normalized already where, you know, just before we got on this call, Trump was talking about it from the Oval Office to reporters. And, you know, I posted a clip and it's kind of people are kind of yawning in response to this, where it really should be kind of a five alarm, you know, that our democracy is very imperiled if he goes through with anything like this.
And that's one of the reasons why, respectfully, to all the people out there that at times get tired of me bringing up Trump things and Trump antics and things that he says and irrational stuff that he brings up and just very bad things for our society, is that Henry Lake's not going to normalize it. Like, we're going to talk about the things that he's doing, and I don't think that we do that enough across the board. Am I wrong there, Aaron? Because, you do a fine job of talking about the key issues here in the country and around the world, and I applaud you for that, and you let it be known your stance, but also, like, just the weird things and stances that politicians do. But do you think that we, and when I say we, I'm talking about in general, mass media, do you think that we do a good enough job of attacking the things that are being promoted and talked about that are insane, that are ridiculous, that aren't rational? Because I think that we as a whole have normalized the MAGA movement.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a chicken and egg where I'm not sure if it's the media or if it's Trump and Republicans who have kind of normalized this stuff. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure how to assign blame to that, because, you know, I think a lot of the time, one of the things that Trump does effectively is there are so many scandals at all times, and most of them don't directly impact people at this point. You know, mm-hmm. even this talk of serving a third term, like, if it came to pass, it would obviously directly affect people. But I think that Trump has kind of trained his supporters to tune a lot of that stuff out as media noise, where, you know, even the Signalgate story last week, you know, Trump's talking point ended up being that it was a hoax. And, you know, I mean, anybody who read that story, the reporter didn't ask to be included in the text group. He just was added to it. But he's primed his followers successfully, I think, to kind of dismiss stuff like that as a media hoax. And even these comments about serving a third term, he made them directly to Kirsten Welker at NBC in an interview. But then today, you know, the talking point from the White House was, oh, you know, this is just the latest hysterical media, you know, not, he didn't call this one a hoax, but, you know, basically blame the media for being hysterical about this when the words are ones that he said to a reporter on record. So,
Well, let me throw this at you, Aaron. Do you believe, because a texter from the 612 is saying that they believe that this is all a distraction from what he's actually doing. Do you think that's part of the process here?
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm pretty dubious about the distraction theories of Trump because, you know, I think there's room for many things to be bad at once. But, you know, I do think that as we get closer to House Republicans having to pass a reconciliation bill that will include most of Trump's agenda, so it'll include, you know, the tax cuts, but also cuts to Medicaid and possibly to, you know, other social safety net programs, that, you know, they're going to pull out all the stops to kind of make it seem like the cuts aren't really cuts. And so I don't doubt that there's a little bit of strategy to try and kind of throw people off the scent of things that will actually really hurt them and their loved ones. So, yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes I think there's some merit to the distraction stuff, but I think, you know, a lot of times Trump is just shooting from the hip. I mean, even today with tariffs, he was asked directly what his plan is for tariffs that he's going to announce on Wednesday. And he basically said, stay tuned. I haven't totally figured it out yet. You know, so I think sometimes people kind of assign too much strategy to him. And I think a lot of times it's as impulsive and kind of disorganized as it seems.
Yeah, we're talking to Aaron Rupar from the Public Notice Newsletter here on The Late Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Moving on to other matters. Why is Elon Musk trying to buy a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat?
So, yeah, this race in Wisconsin tomorrow, you know, has been heavily anticipated now for months. I mean, first of all, because it is the deciding seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which right now is 3-3. And even though these judges are technically nonpartisan, the parties kind of line up behind, you know, their favorite candidate. And the state Supreme Court in Wisconsin has a lot of power when it comes to election laws there, when it comes to gerrymandering, the legislative districts, the congressional districts. And the Supreme Court there played a very key role in entrenching Republican rule for about a decade in Wisconsin until 2023, when the Supreme Court finally flipped to a Democratic majority and allowed for the implementation of more fair congressional maps and legislative maps, which broke the GOP strong, the death grip that they had on the state at that point. So, you know, it's crucial both in terms of, you know, what's going to happen in Wisconsin, but then also, you know, again, congressionally, in terms of the way the seats are drawn up in the districts, you know, that could have national implications as well. And it's also kind of a testing ground to see where Trump's popularity stands at this point, you know, if it's eroded thanks to some of the things that he's done in office. And so you're right. Elon Musk was in Wisconsin last night and cutting checks for $1 million each to two different voters just because they signed a petition, you know, expressing an intention to vote. So it's definitely in a legal gray area slash probably illegal. But the state attorney general sued to stop it, and the high court there decided not to hear the case. So Elon's free and clear, and the election, which is, you know, highly anticipated, will be closely watched, happens tomorrow night.
You know, it's interesting because Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, he essentially has kind of stated that, look, you know, the relationship between the U.S. and Canada is just, it's not in a good place, and we're not going to be talked down to. We're not going to be somebody that's going to be bullied. and we're not going to take the disrespect. Where are we at in terms of that relationship? And do we think that for at least the short term, that between Canada and the U.S., it's going to be we are no longer necessarily allies?
Yeah, Carney's speech, which you mentioned, you know, it was very jarring to me because it was almost like a wartime speech, you know, kind of rallying the country around this shared threat, you know, which, of course, at this point is the United States. And, you know, I think that after that, you know, Trump released a statement the next day after talking with Carney on the phone where he seemed to try to kind of tamp down the, you know, the rhetoric, the temperature of it a little bit, and indicated that, you know, they have a lot of areas of agreement, him and the new prime minister there. And now we'll have to wait and see with this tariffs proposal, which will either be rolled out tomorrow or on Wednesday, you know, what that has in store for Canada, like to what extent that's really going to sever our economic relationship with them, which obviously here in Minnesota is very important. But, you know, also I've noticed that Canada has been taking out ads both in D.C. and in Pennsylvania, kind of highlighting the downsides of these tariffs for Americans, you know, because it's going to hurt people on both sides of the border. So, yeah, I mean, it was really jarring, you know, as someone who my whole life has just taken for granted that we're friends with Canada, to hear the prime minister there kind of portraying the United States as like a threat to the national security of Canada and their economic well-being. But I think the prime minister there is correctly sized up that Trump's strategy is to isolate them economically and to hurt their economy. You know, possibly if you take Trump at his word to make them more, you know, pliant towards possibly becoming the 51st state or some sort of American territory.
Yeah, I just find all of it kind of odd in that, you know, this is the way that we, and I guess specifically President Donald Trump, as the president of this country, is trying to lead our nation and just kind of creating a situation where Canada is no longer going to be an ally. We're talking to Aaron Rupar from the Public Notice newsletter here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. The last thing that I wanted to touch on with you, Aaron, tonight was last week when the Ukrainian leader, Zelensky, when he had mentioned, and it was a very interesting statement that he made about Vladimir Putin, was that he's going to die soon. Now, this is in the midst of all the stuff that's going on with the Ukrainian and Russian war. The bottom line is that when he made the comment about Putin, and everybody's talked about his health, and there's a lot of speculation, like there's nothing definitive out there. I don't care, you can search on Google 24/7 and try to find something. There's nothing definitive, but there's been speculation that he's got a bunch of different ailments, one of which is prostate cancer. But the assumption by a lot of people, or there's speculation, is that he's severely ill. Now, what did you make of Zelensky putting it out there? Because it just kind of threw me for a loop that he would be that vocal about something like that.
Yeah, you know, there's been speculation about Putin's health going back years. I mean, I remember during COVID, first of all, he was extremely isolated during COVID where he wouldn't let anybody get near him. But then there were clips of him during events that he would have where his foot was shaking or his hand was shaking. And so people had respected that he maybe had Parkinson's or something like that.
Yep.
I will say that Putin, you know, the day that Trump's envoy was over there in Moscow a couple of weeks ago to meet with him, and if you remember, there was reports that he was made to wait as long as like 8 hours before Putin would meet with him. And Putin did an event publicly that, you know, was on camera that day because the clip was circulating because, you know, he was literally on camera when he was supposed to be meeting with Trump's envoy. And he seemed fairly healthy to me. I mean, granted, he was just sitting down, you know, so it's hard to tell. But, you know, I mean, it's funny how this kind of parallels in some ways a lot of the speculation surrounding Trump's health. And, you know, I guess that's kind of a hallmark of more authoritarian regimes where, you know, every time Biden went to the doctor, you get a full readout of what happened, or that's typical for most presidents. But with Trump, we don't know much about his health at this point. With Putin, you don't know much about his health. But, you know, any sort of kind of personalist dictatorship like Putin has, you know, if he was to die, it would throw the whole kind of regime into question because I don't think there's really a clear-cut successor there. So, you know, I'm sure Zelensky probably wouldn't mind if something happened to Putin because it would destabilize Russia. But I haven't seen any firm evidence that anything like that is, you know, imminent at this point.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. But I think that the one thing, and I love your reaction to my take on this, is I just don't think that Zelensky would put something out there unless he had really good sources that says that Putin is severely ailing.
You know, maybe not. With Zelensky, sometimes I would have to, you know, see the full context of what he said, because I'm assuming he said this in Ukrainian. So it'd probably be, you know, sometimes in English, yeah. I think the way he expresses himself isn't always the most clear. But you're right. I mean, certainly I would assume that Ukraine has, you know, good sources kind of in and around the Kremlin that might be kind of double agents. I mean, they pulled off drone strikes on Moscow. You know, they certainly have some intelligence capabilities. But I'd want to see it from a source a little bit more impartial than Zelensky, because he might be, you know, trying to accomplish his own ends in the context of the war, kind of rallying morale in his country rather than, you know, trying to report the facts on that one.
Yeah. Hey, great stuff as always, Aaron, man. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And next time, just wait till halftime to get that beer.
Yeah, I was joking with my wife that, you know, the most exciting thing that happened probably all season, I wasn't there for it. But thankfully, I was able to pull up the stream and get back up to speed quick.
All right, that's Aaron Rupar from Public Notice joining us here on The Lake Show.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.